Thank you, Terry and Colleen. Again, at the end of the service, they'll be back there. If you have any other questions, I encourage you to spend some time chatting with them, talking with them. I'm going to share briefly a little exhortation from God's Word this morning, kind of building off some of the points that he brought out. One quick Bible quote for you: you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its flavor, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but to be tossed out and trampled under the feet of men. So that concept of Christians being out and influencing the world, not just within the church, but within society in general, is a very biblical one. We are the salt of the earth, not just the church. Something else I wanted to bring up is, as he referenced, the work is for everybody, and their privilege, and I guess my privilege too, is to just get paid for the work that we're doing. But all are called to full-time ministry. And as we spoke last week, I shared that teaching, admonition, and singing are not just for a professional cast of Christians. As it exhorted us in Colossians chapter 3, it was written to an entire church, sharing with them that they needed to be teaching, admonishing, and singing to one another. Well, what I want to share with you today from 1 Peter is an exhortation again to an entire church that they needed to be ready at any moment to share the gospel with others. So the work of missions is not just for missionaries, but for all of us. So our text this morning is 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going through verses 13 to 17. I'll be brief, but it says, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? For even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Let's pray. Dear God, we pray that you would help produce in us the fruit of sharing good news with others and being ready to share a reason for the hope that is within us at any moment. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Terry and Colleen Hawk and their time with us this morning and getting to catch up with them. And I am looking forward already to their next trip. And Lord willing, if I and others have anything to say about it, it will be much sooner than 17 years. We are grateful for their time here with us this morning. We pray for your blessing upon them and their ministry. Thank you for all the growth that's been happening through their organization throughout the years. We continue to lift them up in our prayers, asking, Lord, that you bless their effort to be the salt and light of the world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this verse 13 opens up with the question, now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? This is a rhetorical question. The answer, the expected answer is people don't do that. People don't harm you for being zealous for what is good. Of course, he goes on to qualify that and say, but even if. So there are those who would harm you for doing what is good. A lot of us are afraid to share the gospel because we believe that we will be harmed for doing what is good. But here, Peter shares that truly that's an uncommon occurrence. There's something within man that rebels against the concept of attacking and harming a good person. It does occur. But a lot of us think and believe that if I go and tell this person about Jesus or I tell that person about Jesus, they're just automatically going to attack me and start going after me and beating me up because of what I am sharing with them. But most of the time, that's simply not the case. People are not about harming others for doing what is good. I was really surprised by a story that the Hawks shared with me. And one, hosting missionaries is becoming my new favorite thing. I think this is the second missionary family that I've hosted, and I'm now tempted to always do it. I think in the future I might mention to the church the opportunity so I can share the blessing. But it's really good fun because you get to ask these people who have been all kinds of places, and they share with you all kinds of stories, and you gain through them an experience of adventure, but also a big vision for the things that God is doing throughout the world, and much broader than we get to experience just in our little context here. But they were talking about Honduras, which is the murder country of the world, highest per capita murder. I think it was something like 80 murders per 1,000 people, where in Chicago it was more like, was it 8 murders per 1,000 people was the ratio. And we think Chicago is bad. But they were sharing something that I questioned because it was really remarkable to hear. They said that MS-13 there, a lot of them really have a fear of God. And I thought, MS-13 has a fear of God. You know, they're killing people. They're doing drugs. How can that be so? I heard a really remarkable story about this. There was an individual who was a part of MS-13, and he went to one of the gang leaders and shared with them, I want to get out because I think I need to be going to church more. I think I need to leave this and go to church and start trying to do good. And MS-13, the fellas told him, as long as you are going to church and you are doing good, we will not harm you. And so they actually let the guy out of this gang, and he started attending church. He stopped attending church, and he was killed by them. Even MS-13, you know, who we fear and dread, you know, to see anybody walking with that kind of tattoo, are they going to harm me? Even somebody like that is not typically going to harm somebody for doing what is good. However, we know stories from history. We know of the Holocaust. We know of all kinds of atrocious things. And in fact, the believers that Peter wrote to did suffer for doing good. Many of them were being persecuted. And so he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So I bring up one. If you are afraid of sharing the gospel with others because of the potential for harm, realize that it's unlikely that you will be harmed. But second point, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will receive a blessing for having done what is righteous. So two, second consideration, don't be afraid to share the gospel with others because you'll be blessed for doing good. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. The substitute for this experience of fear and trouble over the potential of being harmed for doing good should be substituted with honoring Christ the Lord as holy. Recognizing in our heart, in our minds, that he is holy, separated and good and high above all things. It's an exaltation of Jesus above your fears of suffering, your fears of being hurt, and whatever it is that would hold you back from sharing the gospel with others. Jesus is better than that. We can think about all kinds of truths about him. For one, Jesus suffered for righteousness' sake. So if we too should happen to suffer for righteousness' sake, we are really united with him and fellowshipping with him in a way in that suffering. For another, we know that Jesus did not stay in the grave. So even if we should die for righteousness' sake, we know that we too, like Jesus, will rise again to new life one day. Jesus, after he had suffered and died for righteousness' sake, he was exalted to the right hand of God, where the angels eternally worship him. And Jesus will receive as an inheritance the nations and will rule over them. Jesus was rewarded for suffering for righteousness' sake. And you too will be blessed for suffering for righteousness' sake. Actually, we have a promise in Scripture that we will one day reign with him over the nations. So we will kind of partake in that blessing and ability to reign over the nations. Going still further in verse 15, it says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So this is exhorting us to be ready to be a witness. Always being prepared means whether there is a threat for sharing the gospel or whether there is not a threat for sharing the gospel, whether you are aware that if I do righteousness' sake, this is the sort of person who's going to harm me for it, or whether you are aware that they're probably not. In either case, we always need to be prepared to share with others a reason for the hope that is within us. I believe I've shared with you once in the past an opportunity that I had and how I didn't take it, and it was when somebody asked me, why are you so cheerful? It's so close to what is being asked here. Why are you so cheerful? That mimics very strongly, what's the reason for the hope that is within you? Why are you happy? And I shared something about caffeine, I think. So I really blew that opportunity. But Jenny and I have been praying a lot. She's been asking regularly in her prayers for assistance from God and being a light and witness at her workplace. And she had a similar opportunity come up for her this it was past week, and she did not blow it. So I'm proud of her. And somebody asked her, why are you so happy, or some phrase along that. And she shared because of her relationship with God and the forgiveness that she had in Jesus. Boom. That is how you do it. People are going to ask one way or another, different conversation starters you will find where you can wiggle in and share, this is why I'm happy, this is why I have a hope, this is why I'm different, this is on and on, and it's about Jesus and what has been done for me. Yet, we should do it with gentleness and respect. That's hard to do if you are fearful. So one thing, you know, we would need to be working on that fear, because if we fear, there's that fight or flight response. You know, if you think this person's going to be beating you up and attacking you, it can be a little bit difficult to be doing something with gentleness and respect. Or if we're not ready to suffer for righteousness' sake, maybe we want to attack them back when they attack us. But we are exhorted to do it with gentleness and respect. We remember how Jesus did it when he was on the cross and when he was receiving all kinds of accusations about you're evil and did this and yada, yada, yada. He did everything and responded in all ways with gentleness and respect. We too should be doing likewise. Furthermore, having a good conscience and good behavior in Christ. This is so that if and when we are persecuted, our persecutors will one day be put to shame. Because on the last day, it will be revealed that they really ought not have been harming you and attacking you for what you are sharing with them. You are trying to share with them the good news that will lead to a better life for them, and in fact, even eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. That's the biggest help you could ever give to anybody. And so it will be revealed in the last day, and yet they attacked you for it. And so how could there be pride? How could there be honor for that kind of behavior? What response would they give to your Savior when your Savior asks, why did you hurt this person? What were they doing wrong to you? There will be no response that they can give in defense of attacking one who is doing what is righteous when you have a good conscience. 17, it says, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. This is why it's important to have a good conscience, doing right, because if you don't, then you're suffering for doing evil, and there's no reward in suffering for doing evil. But for doing good according to the Lord's will, we will be blessed. So sum it up real quick. This is to everybody. Everybody is given the charge to be ready to share the gospel with others. Second, it's unlikely that you are going to experience what you fear, which is to be attacked and harmed for doing what is good, because most people don't do that. However, even if it should happen, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, don't be afraid. Instead, honor Christ the Lord as holy, which will fight against and have priority over that fear. Be ready to share Jesus with both kind and unkind people in any circumstance that you encounter. When you get a good question, think of it. Be ready to respond. Finally, have a clear conscience, because one, not mentioned in this text, but one, when you have a clear conscience and good behavior, it increases the likelihood that somebody is going to ask you a reason for the hope that is within you. Our lives are a testimony, and as we do good through society, we help improve things. People want to know, why are you doing this? Why are you helping me? And you can share with them reason for the hope that is within you. All right. So I'll ask, I'm going to pray at this time, and I'll ask Terry and Colleen Hawk to go into the back. As you go out, be sure to encourage them. Be sure to ask them some questions, get to know them a little bit better. And we'll pray for them and pray for our evenings and afternoons. Dear God, we pray that you help us to have boldness in our own gospel witness with others. We confess, Lord, we are scared of being harmed. We're scared of awkwardness. We're scared of all kinds of things. Help us, Lord, to see that Christ the Lord is of so much greater value than whatever it is we fear. And the blessing that we will receive is of so much greater value than whatever we're afraid we will lose by being harmed for righteousness' sake. We love you and thank you, Jesus, for being willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. If you had not been willing to do that, we would not be saved. But Lord, you were willing to do what was righteous, even though it meant suffering and dying. And so by your willingness to do that, we are saved. Help us, Lord, to have that in our lives too, and be ready to suffer, even for righteousness' sake, to share with others. Lord, we thank you for Terry and Colleen Hawk and their willingness to do this, and we pray for your continued blessing upon their lives and ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.